For those of you that were here last week, we started a series on prayer, and we talked about last week how not to pray. You know, it's kind of like, do you start with how not to pray? That's kind of a odd thing to do, but it's kind of what Jesus did before he taught them how to pray. He said, pray like this. He said, don't pray like this, like the hypocrites do, like the religious people did. So I think it's fitting that we started with how not to, because Caleb mentioned last week about how not to. And a lot of what he said was just really centered on our hearts and the way that our hearts should be when we pray and how they shouldn't be when we pray. And a lot of it was, in my opinion, based on we're not praying out of any kind of pride or anything like that, but in humility, we're praying to the God of the universe. So Caleb talked about last week how not to pray. And this week, I'm going to just start up with how to pray. We're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer. Most all of y'all, I'm assuming, have heard the Lord's Prayer before. You have probably prayed the Lord's Prayer before. You have probably studied the Lord's Prayer before. So it's not anything new, but I do believe that, whoa, good catch. That was a good catch. Oh my goodness. Okay, well, now that my attention has been gotten. So I do believe that we need to be constantly reminding ourselves how Jesus taught us to pray, because I read a story in a prayer book, not like a prayer book, but a book about prayer, and it was from Tim Keller, and he more or less said something like this. He said, for the longest time, as a believer, and then even as a pastor and a graduated seminary student, he said, for the longest time, one of the things that I struggled with the most is my prayer life. He said that he struggled to know how to pray. He struggled to be consistent with prayer. He struggled to pray with others, you know. And when I read that, I'm like, this is a theologian, you know, a very, I guess you'd say, successful pastor in a lot of ways, done a lot of good things, built a church and different things like that. And to read that as one of the opening statements in his book, like, I've struggled for a long time with just how to pray, like prayer in general. I thought to myself, we all need to be reminded of how to pray, because it's so easy to struggle in our prayer lives. And I know for myself as a believer and as a pastor and a leader and all those different things, I've struggled with prayer from time to time in my life, just in general. But I really have struggled with the Lord's Prayer, because I can be kind of legalistic with some things. And I'll think, well, if I don't pray just like it, like if I literally do not say the prayer like this or include these parts, then I'm not really praying. And I remember whenever I was a basketball coach, believe it or not, Brittany and I coached basketball one year to teenage boys. And one of the I hate to say rituals, but one of the things that the team had always done, even before we were the coach, is before they got out on the court and then after the game, they would all gather together at center court and they would recite the Lord's Prayer. And I had just become a minister of the gospel when I was doing this. So I was, you know, trying to lead people and figure out what the Lord wanted me to do. And I thought that was one of the most amazing things in the world. And they, you know, there was six or eight basketball teenage boys out there on the middle of the court praying, and people would come up to us and say, you know, praise God, you know, that's amazing that y'all were doing that. And I remember, though, thinking to myself, I wonder how many, you know, like we're reciting the Lord's Prayer like word for word before and after the games, but I wonder how many of us that are on the court here reciting this prayer, how many of these kids are actually praying it from the heart? Is this something that they're just praying, you know, kind of ritualistically or whatever like that? So that bothered me for a long time, because, you know, I struggle with that as well. Like how do I pray, and how do I pray the right way? So Jesus gives us in the Bible, Matthew 6, Luke 11, and some other places, he gives us basically instructions on how to pray. And that's what I want to go over today. I want us to look at what Jesus says when he says pray like this. And then after that, I want us to spend some time praying like this. So I want to say this before we start in the passage of Scripture. We're going to be in, well, primarily in Luke today, Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1, but we'll skip over to some other verses as well. But before we do that, I want to say this. At the core of Jesus' instructions on how to pray, at the core of what he says is not necessarily saying it word for word or doing it like just a certain way or it's not the right way. But at the core of what he's saying, I truly believe, is our prayers have to come from the right heart. Like, we have to have the right heart in the matter when we pray these things. Basically, our heart and our minds need to be centered on God, and we have to have like a humble spirit when we pray these things. So we're about to go over the Lord's Prayer, and I truly don't want it to be like us leave here today and think, well, I have to go pray this prayer or pray it just like this, or I'm not doing it right. That's not at all what I'm communicating, and that's not at all what Jesus is communicating. So two truths I want to give us about prayer this morning, just to kind of set the stage, is number one, we need to, before we learn how Jesus teaches us how to pray, number one, we need to accept our need to pray. Because a lot of times we will pray, but we don't really believe, and we are not really crying out in prayer as if we actually believe that we need to pray. In other words, we're trying to figure things out on our own a lot of times, I think. We're trying to navigate through stresses and anxieties and problems and relationships and things like that, kind of in our own ability. And we pray, but we don't really see our great need to pray. So in Luke 11, chapter 1, it says, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say. Now, we're going to read the Lord's Prayer in a minute, but we have to first consider Jesus, how he was there and he was praying. Jesus was praying, and the disciples saw him praying, and they saw that there was a need for them to pray. Jesus wasn't praying here just to leave an example to them either. That's something important for us to remember. He was leaving an example to his followers on how to pray, but he was also praying because he depended on prayer as he was doing his ministry on earth to stay connected to the Father. So Jesus was praying to show them how to pray, but he's also praying as it was a great need for him to pray. So for us today, we need to see, just like Jesus saw and just like the disciples saw when they asked him to teach him to pray, that we have a great need today to pray. One commentator said this, and some people may find discrepancies in this, but I thought this was interesting. One commentator said, this is the only time in the Scriptures that the disciples ever asked Jesus how to do something. I never really thought about that, but I thought that is an amazing thing to draw out today, that how to pray is the only time in the Scriptures that they ever specifically ask him, teach us how to do this. So having said that, I believe that it's very important that we accept our need to pray. And then number two, accept our need to learn. I've said this before, but I think sometimes we're kind of on one side or the other with prayer. Either we don't know how to pray, or we think we have a master's degree in prayer. We think we've got prayer all figured out. We think, well, prayer's not something I need help with. We just kind of do it. I'm satisfied that the disciples had prayed before. Like, they knew kind of the ins and outs of prayer in some ways, but they saw we have a need here to learn from Jesus on how to pray. So today, before we talk about how to pray, let's remember these two things. Let's remember that we have a great need to pray, and we have a great need to learn how to pray today. So in Luke chapter 11, they said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. They ask him to teach them to pray because they saw that they had a need to learn. So today, but before we even look at the Lord's Prayer, I want us to do something right now in our heads and our hearts. I want us to just kind of start praying, just kind of in our heads and our hearts right now. Lord, would you teach us how to pray before we read this passage? Say that right now in your heads and in your hearts. Lord, please teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. God, would you help us to have an attitude like the disciples had here of, I need to learn how to pray. We've watched you pray, Jesus. We, as the body of Christ, have watched and heard other people pray, but that's not good enough. We need to call out to the Father this morning and say, Lord, would you teach me how to pray? So let's practice that this morning. Let's practice just saying to the Lord, Lord, teach me to pray. And I'm going to give us, when we get into the components of the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to give us 8 key points to the Lord's Prayer. And these are key points that we can use as a guide when we pray. Now, I want to kind of preface all this is a model prayer. And again, by no means did Jesus suggest, nor do I think he means that we have to pray like this and in like a perfect form or even in like a legalistic way or a ritualistic way. He gives us this as a model so that we can have basically a practical guide on how we can pray with effectiveness and keep our minds focused on God. So consider this a guide from Jesus for us on how to pray. So this is not something that we have to be overly dogmatic about, and which is what I've struggled with before in the past, just reading that and getting frustrated with myself for thinking that maybe perhaps God isn't hearing me properly because I didn't say it a certain way. This is a practical guide, so we can use this to help us learn how to pray in better ways. The cool thing about this prayer guide is it's very simple. I think this is pretty simple. The components are simple, very straightforward, but at the same time, they're very deep and complex. So these are 8 simple key points, but yet all of these simple key points are deep and complex when we actually start to practice them. So this is something that we can work on and utilize in each of our lives. So my main point today, my aim for us today, is that we will leave here with a little more idea or better idea on how to pray with effectiveness on a practical level while honoring and glorifying God with the right heart. So the first half of these points in the Lord's Prayer are really prayers towards God. Does that make sense? They're prayers directed towards God. Now, y'all know as well as I know, a lot of times we like to go right into our petitions in our prayers. And I'm not saying that there's going to be times where we're in great distress or we're just really struggling with some kind of anxiety or some kind of temptation to where we don't just go straight to God with our petition. Lord, help me. You know, I'm not saying that that's not going to happen. But we do need to make it kind of a part of our really structured prayer. You know what I mean? Like whenever we get up in the morning and we're spending time praying for the day, we need to make it a part of our structured prayer to remember before we start throwing up petitions and requests and these different things to God that there's some things that we could do. There's things that we should do according to Jesus. There's things that we should pray that are not petitions for us, but rather they're prayers towards God. So let me read these. The Lord's Prayer says this. It says, Jesus says, pray like this, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Some translations add another praise there at the end, and then some omit that. And I personally believe that when we finish praying, that we should finish in a word of praise, like thanking God for all that He's done for us. Because finishing our prayers with just praising God and thanking God really boosts our confidence in the God that we're praying to. So the first half of these prayers are directed towards God, and the first point in Jesus' Lord's Prayer, His guide for them to know how to pray, and our guide that still is a guide today, is Jesus says, pray like this, and He starts it off with Father, who art in heaven. Father in heaven, He says, hallowed be your name. The CSB translation says, our Father in heaven, your name be rendered as holy. Now, we just sang, two songs that talked about the name of Jesus, or is anyone worthy? Is anyone holy? Is anyone these things? And then what a beautiful name it is. Whenever we pray, the very first thing that should come out of our mouths is we should direct our prayers to the Father. Now, why is that important? Because I think a lot of times we pray, or I know that I pray a lot of times, and I will say Father, I will say God, as if I'm acknowledging that I'm praying to Him. But in my mind and my heart, I've not truly acknowledged that I'm praying to God. I'm actually just saying some words up into the air. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? When you pray sometimes and you're just like saying things and you're just not really focused on who you're praying to. Jesus starts off and He says, this is how you pray. Father, who art in heaven. So point number one is what we should direct our prayers to God. Not to somebody else. Not to the church. Not to ourselves. A lot of times I think I pray and I might say God's name, but I'm really just talking to myself. Because I'm not acknowledged. Like, I'm talking to God. And you see, when I talk to myself, I do talk to myself quite a bit. Y'all may not know that, but I do more than you think. But when I talk to myself about different things, when I talk to myself about my problems and my issues and my struggles and my temptations and my anxieties, you know where that leads me? It leads me to despair. So the first thing, the first point that we need to remember is we are talking to God. So the idea here is that whenever we begin our prayers, we need to know full well that we are praying to the God of the universe, who is bigger than anything we're about to bring before Him, who has no rival. That is who we are praying to. But you see, a lot of times in our prayers, we get in a hurry, right? We have so many petitions and requests and struggles and things like that, that whenever we go before the Lord in prayer, we're like, God, help me with this. Now, again, there's going to be times where that's going to be what we do. We're in such desperation that we can't help but just to blurt out a request, you know, to our God. And from a humble heart, we're sincerely doing that. But whenever we're praying, we need to remember, we need to really, I've practiced this over the last couple of weeks and it's really transformed my mind and my heart in prayer. I've just said, oh God, I'm like, Father, Jesus, Lord. And then I've just stopped for a moment and even in my mind considered, I'm not talking to myself here. I'm not talking to another human. I'm not talking to the air. I'm not talking to this made-up thing. I'm not talking to some other God that many people I know in this community are talking to. I'm talking to God, and then I just stop there. And I say, God, help me to remember that I'm talking to You. Help me to remember that when I talk to You, that You are my Father. And You're not some angry Father up in heaven getting ready to pounce on me whenever I tell Him my struggles or confess my sins or tell You that, you know, I'm struggling to just have faith today. You're not some angry Father that's ready to get me and to get me in trouble. You are my Father that loves me, cares about me, and wants me to just give more and more and more of myself to You, who is patient with me, who has cast my sins as far as the east is from the west. That is who we're talking to today when we pray. Our Father who is in heaven. Now, I had a pretty good earthly father. I try to be a good earthly father, but there's times that my kids will talk to me and I'm angry and I'm frustrated. I will yell at them. I will get angry with them. I will be short with them. I will be frustrated with them. And I will tell them to go away from me. A lot of times, we look at our Father that way in prayer. Well, if I come to Him with these requests, or if I come to Him and with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, ready to confess my sins, ready to speak to Him, ready to ask for my daily bread, ready to ask Him to help me, then He's going to be angry at me and He's going to tell me just to go away. We are talking to our Father who is in heaven, who is like no other Father. No matter how good or bad of a father you had on this earth, God in heaven, the Father that we speak to, cares about His children with an unconditional love, and He does not look at us like some burden or like some frustration. He looks at us as His little child to whom He wants to help. He wants to grow. So let's remember that when we pray. We are praying to God, our Father in heaven. So just stop for a second. And even in your mind, just say that, Father. Just say that right now, Father, and forget any connection to any other father or father you've seen or father there or any other time. Maybe even your father has been short with you or said something to you that was mean or angry or whatever. Just forget anything else about any other thing to do with any father. And remember, I'm speaking to our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name, who loves you and who wants to hear at all times what you say. There are times that my kids will come to me and I'm thinking about something else. I'm frustrated and I honestly, in the sinfulness of my heart, don't want to hear. But here's the cool thing about our Father in heaven. He always wants to hear. He will never turn away. He wants to hear the depths. He wants to hear the deep. So let's remember that's who we're talking to today. Just let that sink in today. The second part, the second main point is praise and adoration. That verse again says, our Father in heaven, your name be rendered as holy. See, this gets into the heart of the matter of prayer. Whenever we begin to pray, we need to pray with the right heart. We can't go into our prayers just thinking, well, I'm going to acknowledge God and then give my request, acknowledge God and give my petitions. You see, God wants us to praise Him. He wants to be glorified among the entire earth and glorified in and through His children. So when we pray, before we give any requests, before we do anything else, it's very important, whether we say the words or not, it's very important that the posture of our hearts and the posture of our minds is that His name, our Father in heaven, is treasured above all else and esteemed as having a supreme value over any other name, over any other thing on this earth. In other words, whenever we say God's name in prayer, there doesn't need to be any other names in our lives. There doesn't need to be any other relationships in our lives. There doesn't need to be any other things in our lives that are basically competing with rendering as holy. There needs to be no other names, no other things, no other gods in our lives and our hearts that we are trying to glorify. You see where he's going here? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Before we petition, before we do anything else, we acknowledge that we're talking to the Father that loves us and cares for us and wants to hear us. But then we also acknowledge that He is supreme. He is our God. He's your God. He's my God. Why is this important that we do this pre-petition? Two reasons. Number one, because God wants the praise. God wants to be glorified among the nations. We know this because the Word of God tells us this. But also this, whenever we petition God for anything, whether it be a daily need, as we're going to talk about, or whether it be to keep us from evil, guard us from the enemy's attacks, whether it be to lead us not into temptation, whether it be to give us wisdom and discernment in any and all circumstances, whenever we pray those things, the way that we will maximize the power from God is when we pray those things with a heart and a mind that is saying, you are my God. I am surrendered to you. You are holy, and I believe you're holy. I've already acknowledged that. I believe that you are supreme over all of the earth, and there is no rival to your name. So then think about the confidence that we can have when we petition God for anything, whether it be our daily bread or helping us with temptation or whatever. Think about the confidence and the faith that we can have whenever we petition to Him those things with a heart and a mind that says, you are rendered as holy. I believe it. So really, it's a matter of faith. Whenever we render His name as holy, it's not just words that we say. Our heart has to render His name as holy. And whenever our heart is rendering His name as holy each and every day, and we pray, Lord, do this and do that. I beg You to help me with this and that. We are praying with a confidence that God is holy. His name is above every name. He is hearing my request. And we can put our full assurance and faith in that He is hearing those requests and answering those requests according to His will and purposes for His glory. A lot of times I struggle to pray, number one, because I don't know how to pray, but number two, because I don't pray and really believe it. I pray because I'm supposed to pray. You ever do that? You ever pray because you feel like, well, I'm just supposed to pray? So you pray because you think you have to, or when I haven't tried that as much as I should have. That shouldn't be the posture of our heart. We should pray with the posture of our heart being, I'm praying to God who is rendered as holy in my life, who is rendered as the God of the universe in my life. Point number three says, pray that His kingdom come and His will be done. So after we've prayed, our Father in heaven, Your name be rendered as holy, we should direct and center all of our prayers, all of them, to the submission of God's will, God's plan, and God's purposes for His glory in our lives, in your lives, in the lives of the people we care about, in the lives of the people all over the earth. See, God desires that His kingdom come to the whole earth. So our prayers, at the core of our prayers, they need to be kingdom come focused prayers. Not my kingdom come focused prayers, but God's kingdom come focused prayers. And not only do they need to be kingdom come focused prayers, they need to be His will be done focused prayers, not my will be done focused prayers. So many times I pray to God with my will in mind and I reject what He has to say. I don't want His will to be done. I want to do what I want to do. I think this is many times where people's prayer lives really stop or are hindered. We are praying to the God of the universe whom we're trying to render as holy, but we don't really want His kingdom to come. We don't really want His will to be done. We want our will to be done. Why? Because we don't want to deny ourselves. Luke 9:23 says, if you want to come after me, Jesus says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. I listened to a sermon this week by Piper. Several of us have been talking about that, but it's talking about daily that old self in us has to die. And I listened to that and was just reminding myself that every single day, the old Justin is still present there. My old struggles and my old self, my old desires, my old wills, my old tendency, all those things are still kind of there in my life. Those things have to die daily. Those things I have to deny on a daily basis. He said something like this, that our old person is the same old person at 15 as it is at 71. And daily, that person has to be denied. And that person, that old self person, has to die. This has everything to do with our prayer life. Jesus says, pray like this, my kingdom come, my will be done. The old person in each of you, the old person in me, is screaming at the top of its lungs when we pray and are trying to pray with the right heart. Father, I want Your will to be done. Before I pray, that old person is saying, no, I want my will to be done. This is so critical to prayer. Incorporated in our prayer lives, Jesus is saying, you need to pray, God, Your will be done. And that means when you pray that, you have to deny Your will. That's incredibly difficult to do. It's easy to say it, but it's hard to do it. It's easy to be in prayer and say, God, I really and truly want Your will to be done. And then immediately you find out God's will is going to be difficult. You find out God's will is going to be painful. You find out God's will is going to be less about you. Matter of fact, not about you and me at all, and all about Him and His glory and His kingdom coming to the earth. If you find out that it's going to mean that you might have to suffer, be uncomfortable. It means that you might lose friendships. It means that things might be difficult. We find out those things when we pray, God's will be done. And our old self is saying, you don't need to pray that and mean it. Jesus says, pray like this. Pray like this. Stop just a second. And in your minds right now, I want you to just pray that and really think about, do I mean it when I say that to the God? Do I really mean it? Just pray right now. Father, today I want Your will to be done in my life. A lot of times we struggle with my will be done, and we think so much to the future and what tomorrow, His will looks like tomorrow or 5 years from now. We're big planning type people. This is a planning type culture in America. You know, we got the 5, 10, 20, 50 year plan. You know, we basically plan our lives to death. On a daily basis, we can pray about God's will for the future, but when we pray, Father, Your will be done in my life, we need to focus that on today. So for the rest of this day, if you and I pray, Father, Your will be done, not my will, but Your will, Father, be done, are we submitting to that today? Is that truly what we're praying right now? Practice that. Practice trying that now, right now. Just saying, Father, Your will be done. Fourth petition is to, or the fourth point is to petition for our needs. Jesus says, give us each day our daily bread. There's not a human being in the world that doesn't have this need. Think about that. Every human on the planet, from the time they come out of their mother's womb until the time they die, needs their daily bread. The little baby who's just been born needs milk. The little 5-year-old, the little 3.5-year-olds needs a snack every 5 minutes. I know that to be true. Every adult will be like, gosh, I'm so hungry. Because we need our daily bread, right? If we didn't have our daily bread, we would be stressing, right? You see, in America, we don't really struggle with this. At least, I don't believe we do. But I truly believe there are people all around us, even in this city, whom as kids maybe even would get up in the day and wonder, where will I get my daily bread today? And there are many people in the world today. You know this. We talk about them all the time. We threaten with them sometimes, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? We're like, I know you're hungry. You know, I say this, I know you're hungry. But there's people so-and-so over here who don't have anything. They're eating 3 meals a week. I do that all the time. And I rarely think about them and say, you know what? Think about that, not really having your daily bread like you know what I'm saying? Like not being really hungry. This was a need for them, the ones that Jesus was addressing. And it's a need for us today. Our daily bread is a need for every human being. And Jesus says, pray like this. Once you've done this, start with your petitions. And for them, their daily bread was a big petition. So He says, pray for your daily bread. Pray that God would give you what you need to sustain your body today. I want you to notice that in that prayer, it doesn't say, pray that I'll have my daily bread for all week. Pray that I'll have my daily bread for the month. Pray that I'll have my daily bread for the year. You see, we like that security, you know what I mean? Like, we like to have that plan, that security. Like, well, if I don't have my daily bread promised for next week or the month after or the 12 months from there, then I'm getting, you know, all scared. I've never been in a position to where I've literally had nothing, but there has been times And the Lord's taught me a lot through this, to where I've been down to like $5 in my checking account, and I literally was not getting paid again for a few days. And I would think to myself, how am I going to feed my family today? And I would just say, Lord, would you give me my daily bread? And then someone would send me a little money, or someone would go dinner, or you know, it would just kind of come, not for the month, not for 6 months, not for the year. But the Lord has taught me in some little bitty ways, not comparing those to the people who truly don't have their daily bread much of the time. But the Lord has taught me that's how we should pray every day. Lord, give me my daily bread today, and let me not worry about tomorrow's daily bread. Let me not worry about, am I going to have enough for my daily bread at the end of the month? Give me my daily bread today. And then here's the kicker, and us be okay with our daily bread today. I think a lot of times we pray for our daily bread, and then God gives it to us, and we're like, well, this is not what I was actually wanting. I wanted more than this. I wanted something better than this. I wanted a different loaf of bread than this. I wanted a different meal than this. I wanted an abundance of this so that I could store it up and not have to trust you tomorrow for that daily bread. When we pray to God every morning, let's practice this. Just saying, Father, would you give me what I need today? You know what that does? That removes all worry and doubt and anxiety. I mean, Jesus talks about this, about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow's daily bread. Don't worry about that you don't have the money just yet to pay that bill that's due tomorrow, that's a necessity for your life. Worry about today, in that ask God to give you your daily bread today. When He gives it to you, rejoice in that and focus on His kingdom and His righteousness today. If we prayed like that with that kind of faith, not looking at tomorrow, but considering our daily bread being met today, and considering that our main focus today not needs to be about worrying about tomorrow or the next day, then we probably would see more and more and more of His kingdom come. If we're focused on His righteousness more than we are being scared about tomorrow and the next day, we would probably see more and more breakthrough in our lives, more and more holiness in our lives. Jesus says, pray for your needs, petition for your needs. And when He gives you those needs, consider it a good gift from above. Whether it's rice and beans or a steak dinner, let's consider the daily bread that God gives us every day. Think about that, every day. I don't think there's anybody in this backyard that has not had their daily needs met, you know, for the most part, something every day. So let's consider that is a good gift. That is a gift from God. And what that does is that takes away a lot of our selfishness. That takes away a lot of our my kingdom come kind of mindsets. Because my kingdom says I want to eat steak every day. You know what I mean? My kingdom says I deserve this, you know. I never thought I would say this, but my kingdom says I have to get this big cup of coffee every day. You know what I mean? That's what my kingdom says. Jesus says, petition for your daily needs. But there's also other needs that we have. He goes on to petition or point 5 and 6. And He says, forgive us our sins as we forgive others their sins. Jesus says, pray like this. He says, pray prayers of confession. Forgive us of our sins. That's what this is. When we pray, we need to be asking God every single day to cleanse us of our unrighteousness. We need to be daily going before Him and asking Him to forgive us of our sins, the ways that we failed that day. Now, we all know Romans 8:1 tells us that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, this to many is kind of confusing. Why do we need to pray daily confession of sin? You know, a lot of people get confused by that. I think y'all know the answer to this. But as a believer, in order to maintain fellowship with God, we are to go to Him daily and acknowledge we have failed today. And acknowledge Him as our Lord and our Savior. And say, Lord, would You forgive me of this? And lead me, as Psalm 139 said, into the way everlasting. One reason that we are to pray daily prayers of confession, I believe truly, is that what we're doing is we're saying to God, God, I know that You died on the cross. Jesus, I know that You died on the cross and paid the penalty for all of my sin. But when we acknowledge our sins daily, you know what we're doing? We are acknowledging to Jesus that His death on the cross was necessary. We're acknowledging to Him that we acknowledge that the fact, the truth that He died on the cross was meant to be something that had to happen in our lives. And what we're saying to God is thank You. Because there is nothing that we can do according to Ephesians that will make us right with God. We are saved by grace through faith. And when we daily confess our sins, we're saying, God, it was necessary for You to die for us. And we thank You for You dying for us. And there is therefore now no condemnation with Christ Jesus. And if we are in Christ Jesus, that is our state. So our daily confession of sin should bring us great joy. Think about that. Restore to me the joy of our salvation. How do you do that? How do we have our salvation, the joy that's in our salvation, renewed if we're saved and all of our sins are forgiven at the moment of our salvation? Think about that. At the moment of our salvation, we cry out to God, forgive us of all of our sin. He forgives us of all of our sins, so Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And we believe it, right? We believe at that moment our sins are forgiven completely. They're cast as far as the east is from the west. And then what do? The very same day that we profess Christ as Lord and Savior, we sin again. You know why? Because we still live in these earthly bodies. And you know what? We'll sin the next day. And you know what? We'll sin the next day, and 10 years later, and 20 years later, we're going to all sin today. We already have. And here's what our sin does as believers. Many times if we don't remember the cross and remember that we are saved by grace, we will fall into despair. We will listen to the enemy when he condemns us. Because here's the thing, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but the enemy is a big time accuser. The enemy is a big time condemner. So believers are under, they're in the spotlight for great targets to condemn. So on a daily basis, we're going to be being condemned by the enemy, accused by the enemy. And Jesus says on a daily basis, we need to confess our sins as believers. And when we confess our sins and remember the cross, then we're not only telling Jesus, we're telling God and reminding ourselves the cross was necessary, but we're reminding ourselves that it was not only necessary, but He did the job. Christ did the job of forgiving us of our sins and making it to where there's no condemnation for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, and we confess our sins daily, we're reminded of that. But the kicker here is that He says, as we also are forgiving those who've wronged us. There's a story in the Bible in Matthew chapter 18 to where a guy went to the master and he had this big debt. Y'all know the story. And the master's like, you owe this debt, you're going to pay it or you're going to be punished. And the guy that had the debt started pleading with the master. And it said that the master basically was like, all right, I feel sorry for you, so I'm just going to do away with this debt. So this guy who had this great debt from the master, what was happening, the master forgave him of the debt. He took the debt away, and then the servant there, the one that had the debt, went out and had somebody who had a debt owed to him. And that guy was like, look, I can't pay the debt. It's too big. And he would not show him the same mercy. I think this is very powerful when we pray There is power in our prayers whenever we're asking the Lord to forgive us, but we're also at the same time forgiving those around us. Jesus says, if you don't forgive those, then I won't forgive you. Think about that for a second. That's a really strong word. That is exactly why Jesus says when you pray, ask God to forgive you of your sins on a daily basis. But while you're doing that, you need to be forgiving anybody that has harmed you. And that shows that you truly are my disciple. So consider this. Have you ever went to God in prayer making petitions for yourself and for others, but yet there's these people, there's these relationships that you're in, close relationships that you're in, enemy type relationships that you have, relationships that have deep, long years kind of hurt, and yet there's these kind that maybe the person that you just met that just made you angry, you've got all these angers and you're not wanting to forgive them, and yet you're asking God to forgive you, and you won't forgive those who have hurt you. Jesus says, pray and ask God to forgive you. Daily do this. It needs to be a daily practice in our prayers. But all the while, you need to be forgiving those who have hurt you. That's an incredibly difficult thing to do. But I challenge you today to think through when you're praying, maybe later today, you're getting into some time in prayer, maybe even in the morning when you're praying, to think, is there anybody? Now, I'm not talking about the guy that cut you off on the road the other day on so-and-so street. You can't go find him. Like, you can't go find him and say, hey, look, I forgive you, you know. You know what I mean? Here's the way I look at forgiving others. Sometimes we need to go to people and tell them that we've forgiven them. You know, but sometimes I don't know that that's necessarily necessary. We have to forgive people in our hearts. In other words, when we hear their name, if it stirs up this anger and bitterness and resentment that just won't go away, then we've not forgiven them. So I want you to consider when you pray, God, forgive me. Is there anybody that when their name comes up, that's the way you think of them? And I want you to consider going before the Lord and saying, Lord, help me to forgive them. Help me to truly let go of the anger, the frustration, the resentment that I have towards these people. Maybe you can't go to them. Maybe you don't need to go to this specific person. I mean, this is circumstantial whether or not you go to them, but we have to be forgiving them. We have to be releasing the debt that they have towards you and towards me in our hearts. We have to be that way at the core simply because Jesus said to. At the end of the day, it don't make sense a lot of times. At the end of the day, we'll look at the debt of someone's sin against us. You know what I mean? People that have hurt us in really, really incredible ways. We have to look at that debt and say the debt of sin that I have towards God is so much greater than that. So how can I, a person who's been redeemed and saved, and my debt has been nailed to the cross, my debt has been cast as far as the east is from the west, how can I, a person who's experienced such a great debt being taken away from me and nailed to the cross, Jesus Christ paid that, how can I, being a person that has had that happen, not forgive this person of their death? That doesn't mean you have to be best friends, obviously, but how can we not forgive others their debt when our debt, being so great, has been taken away and remembered no more? You see, we're not like God. We remember things like every day. You know, sometimes we remember things and we don't want to remember them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We will say, I'm just not going to think about what this person did to me, because when I do, it causes, you know, distress and anger and resentment and all these things. Consider your prayer life when you pray, Father, forgive me, and Lord, help me today when I think about those who have hurt me, that I don't want to forgive, that I don't want to pardon the things that they've done to me. Whenever I think about that, God, help me to dismiss that thought. Now, we're not like God again, so we can't, it just can't be gone. but we can't ask Him to help us to, if it does come across our mind, to say my debt was much greater than the debt they have towards me. Next says, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Now we all know, according to 1 Corinthians and according to James, that the Lord does not tempt us. So why does it say, lead us not into temptation? And why do we pray, lead us not into temptation? You see, even though God doesn't tempt believers to sin, you all know this, according to James, that all believers will be, it's a guarantee, subject to trials and temptations daily. There is not a day that we will wake up in the morning conscious to life, not in sleep anymore, and spend the day awake and then go to sleep again. There is not a day that will pass that we will not be come face to face with trials and temptations. There's not a day. That being the case, we as believers, though we're going to be subject to these trials and temptations, should try to avoid sinful and tempting situations. Though we're going to be subject to them, we shouldn't just be putting ourselves in them. Though we're going to be subject to them, we need to have the wisdom and the discernment to see these temptations at what they are and say, Father, don't lead me into these temptations. Lead me far away from these temptations. So when we're faced with the temptation to look at something that we don't need to look at, when we're faced with a temptation to be angry with someone or to let our anger out on someone, when we're faced with the temptation to lie, to cheat, to steal, whatever it is, though we're going to be subject to that temptation, we need to be crying out to the Father, lead us not into that temptation. So in other words, we're saying, lead us far away from those temptations. So when we pray that in the morning, think about that when we're faced, when the temptation is before us, like this stand is here, and in a split second, we have to make the decision, what am I going to do here? At that moment, we're very vulnerable, I believe, because there's this old self that is telling us the easiest thing to do would be to lie right here, right? The easiest thing to do would be to do this. Or the thing that would bring you the most satisfaction or pleasure would be to do this. You get what I'm saying? That's what the old self is doing when that temptation that we're so easily subject to is right before us. But yet remember that when we pray, Jesus says, pray like this, lead me far away from those temptations. So here, when we're in that temptation, we're in that situation, we've been praying, Father, lead us far away. 1 Corinthians 13 says, God will always give us a way out from the temptation. So let me just, y'all say that in your head right now. Right before that, he said, there is no temptation that is uncommon to man. There's nothing that we're going to be faced with temptation-wise that we are just going to be, I'm helpless, I can't not do this. Because it says, God will not tempt you more, right? Y'all know the passage, more than you can handle. So there's going to be a way out. There's a promise there. Think about that. He promises to give us a way out. But you know what? A lot of times when we're not praying like this, lead us not into temptation, when that temptation is before us, what do? Our old self is really speaking some stuff to us in our ears. He's really yelling at us. You know, right now at any given moment, there's a lot of voices going on. There's a lot of things that we're hearing. There's the Holy Spirit. There's the truth of the Word of God. But you see, there's a lot of other loud voices that are going on in our head that the enemy and his demons and the world and different people are screaming at us. George Ross did an exercise with us one time in a church planting training. And what he did is he put us in the middle of the room and he gave each one of the people in a room a category. One was fatherhood. One was lust. One was power. One was this. One was that. And what he did was he asked each of us to go around that person in the room by ourselves and just start saying things in their ear, just right up in their ear. Now, this wasn't COVID friendly. It was BC before COVID, you know. So, but like we were just like right up in their ear, just kind of yelling at them in their ear. You are this. You're going to fall. This is what you want to do. This will make you feel good. This, that, and the other. And the person in the middle of the room was just like, gosh, that was intense, you know. And then he said, now I want all of you. I want all of you to circle around this person and start yelling these things into his ear. I want you to do it for 10 minutes. And everybody got a turn. And everybody was standing in the middle of the room just having all these voices screaming in your ear. And I'll tell you something, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life to sit there and listen to those things. And when we got done, here's what he said. He says, every one of you in this room, that's what you're experiencing every day, is it not? And I felt just this great truth come over me. That is exactly the way I feel every single day. We're at the door every single day. We're subject to being at the door of temptation. And there's that old self screaming at us, and he has a very loud voice. A lot of times I think, well, the Spirit's voice is greater, so I'm obviously going to hear his voice over all the other ones. It's going to muffle out the other voices. Like, I just won't hear them anymore. You know what I mean? And then I'll get in despair because all I hear is the voice of the enemy. He says, pray like this, lead me not into temptation. When you're standing at the door of temptation, if you've been praying that starting in the morning all throughout the day, the second you stand at the door of temptation, you know what? God promises us he will give you a way out. You're praying already. You're praying in advance for God to give you a way that is far away from that temptation. And then guess what? Those are the times that it's easy to walk up. You're subject to the temptation and you walk away. You run away. We need to be praying daily that God would lead us away from the tempting situations, that God would give us wisdom and discernment on where to go and what to do and who to be with and who to hang out with. Lead us not into temptation. And he says, deliver us from evil. Won't you consider Jesus' model prayer and consider how this should be a daily thing? We're getting ready to come to a close, but consider how this being a daily thing. He says, lead us not into evil. There is an evil one out there. There is an enemy out there that is trying to do his best to get us to fall, for the temptation to not deny the old self, but to allow the old self to live in us every day, to work in and around us every day. There's an enemy that's trying to destroy the believer. There's an enemy that's an accuser. There's an enemy that is a condemner. There's an enemy that will do everything he can to bring us down, to ruin our witness, to ruin our relationships, to ruin our lives, to ruin our marriages, to ruin everything about us. You and I have to believe today that that enemy is real. Jesus clearly believed that he was real. And he clearly wanted the disciples to believe that he was real, which is why he said, whenever he told them to pray and don't go to sleep, because he knew what the enemy was about to do. He knew that Peter was going to deny him three times. Why? Because Jesus knew the enemy was real. And he wanted to remind them, don't fall asleep praying, and you need to pray every time you pray, Lord, keep me from evil. Deliver me from this evil one. So Jesus, giving this model prayer to wrap it up, starts off with three sort of points towards God. Father, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then he gets to the petitions. Give me my daily bread, Lord. He says, lead me away from temptations. Give me wisdom and discernment. And then look at this, right before the last, he finishes with, and help me to fight the enemy. Deliver me from evil. Jesus was finishing off the model prayer for them and for us with this. Now, when you pray these things with a warlike mentality. Because you and I, just like the disciples, are in a spiritual battle. How many times you ever heard a preacher say that? 1,000. How many times is it like, yes, yes, I know. How many times do you wake up in the morning and you don't pray that and you ask yourselves during the day, why is this so hard? Why am I struggling so much? Why do I feel so defenseless? Who is this speaking to me in my head? Is this me? Is this the enemy? Is this the spirit? Is this God? Who is this? And we almost feel helpless. We almost feel like we say to ourselves, I don't know what to do. I don't know why this is happening. It's because there's a war going on, whether we're prepared to fight or not. Jesus says, pray like this. Deliver me from evil. Every day when you and I pray, every day, we need to pray. Like we're on the front lines, because we are. Scripture tells us we're on the front lines every day. That's the way we need to pray. And I truly believe this as one of the armor, one of the weapons that God has given us. I'm reading in Pilgrim's Progress, they call it the all prayer. He calls it all prayer. And I was reading last night about how he used all prayer. And he's in the valley of the shadow of death like no other place he had never been before. And the only thing that seemed to work was all prayer. What do you think about that? All prayer is really one of our greatest weapons that God has given us. That's why Jesus finished with, deliver us from evil. You and I need to pray that every single day now. I believe we should end our prayers with praise. Whether you omit that part of that verse or not, there's nothing wrong certainly with finishing our prayers with, oh God, thank you so much for you. Jeremiah came up to me not long ago and he said, thank you. And I said, for what? And he said, for you. You know, when he said that, that kind of got into my heartstrings a little bit. But I thought about when I pray to God, you know, how many times do I finish praying and just say, thank you, God. It's for you. You know what I mean? Like, thank you, God, for you. Just for you being God in my life. Thank you for you. Now, I'm going to give us a practical guide. I'm going to give 5 words. Just kind of points to help us pray like this. And then what I'd like for us to do is spend a little bit of time this afternoon praying like this. And I believe there's power in what I'm about to ask you to do. I want you guys to write down these 5 points. And then maybe you do this sometimes, maybe you don't. But I want you to write down the 5 points. And under each 5 points, just jot down a little bit what's specific to you in these 5 points. You know what I mean? Like, this is a prayer to God that you're praying. And then once you write it down, I want you to just sit there and kind of pray over it for a minute. Here's the 5 points. Number 1 is adoration. That is our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Adoration. Write down what you're thinking. Write down what you're praying to God in adoration. And then 2 is surrender. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Write down today what you're going to say to God. Just write it down even as you're saying it. Father, I surrender this to you. Write it down. 3rd one is petition. We may be here a while, but write down your petitions to the Lord. It don't have to be in great detail, but write down, starting with your daily bread. Lord, give me what I need today. If you need $50 for your power bill that's due tomorrow, write that down. Seriously, write that down and bring that up to the Lord. And just say, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to put it up to you. If you need a meal today, seriously, write it down. And just say, Lord, would you give me this that I need today? Whatever other petition you have. And then there's confession. Write down just some bullet points. What are you confessing to God today? And in that confession section, write down, who do I need to forgive? That may be painful. You don't have to write a commentary. You don't even have to write any details. Just write down somebody's name. Who do I need to forgive? And lastly, it's power. Write down, Lord, write down what you pray to the Lord. Give me discernment in these tempting situations, even some tempting situations that seem to be continual in your life. You know what I mean? And then just write down, lastly, Lord, give me power to fight the enemy. Maybe even write down a verse or two. You know what I mean? Because that's like part of that power that He gives is the Word of God. And then just take a few moments and pray over this list.